Welcome to the conference. Please note today's call is being recorded. Please stand by.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Reva Winkler from the National Quality Forum. Thank you all very much for joining us today on our conference call of the Pulmonary and Critical Care Steering Committee. The purpose of today's call is for the committee to review the comments that were submitted during the NCLIP and public comment period on the recommended measures from the Pulmonary and Critical Care Endorsement Maintenance Project. For all our audience members, to let you know that all of the materials for today's call that the steering committee will be working off of are posted on our website on the project page. The steering committee members should have available to them the memo, which is really the discussion agenda that we'll be following. You also have an Excel spreadsheet that is a comment table with either responses from the developer or proposed responses that staff has drafted for the committee to review. There were also a couple of comment letters that came in, as well as response letters, and all of these are posted, and the steering committee has had these for the last several days. So just to review that the purpose of this call is to review those comments, consider the responses we have to date, and then essentially the fundamental question for the steering committee members is, after your review of the comments, do you wish to make any changes to any of the recommended measures that you put forth originally? So we have invited the measure developers to join us on the call today to be available to answer questions, and there will be an opportunity for public comment at the end of the call for any of our audience and participant members. Also, we are projecting the documents on a webinar if you wish to avail yourself of that. So that's what I have to say. Kevin, Steve, do you want to take it at this point?
Yes, sure. Steve, do you want to do it or do you want me to take it?
Sure. I'll be happy to start, Kevin. I'm going to lean on staff just to kind of help us with the process.
Sure.
I don't see a formal agenda. So how do you want us to proceed, Reva?
We'll just go march through the memo.
Walk through the June 15th memo.
Correct, because okay. That really raises the issues. If there are proposed responses that staff has drafted or action items for the steering committee to consider, so if you'd like, I could do a quick summary as
that would be great.
One.
That'd be great.
Okay.
That'd be terrific for those of us.
And also, I'm not getting anything up on the webinar, so maybe.
Well,
I'm wondering.
I am seeing it.
Steve, you don't see anything on the webinar?
I just got a blank screen.
Okay, so I do have that, so maybe I can help until you get screened up.
Right.
Let me try refresh.
Okay. We received about 139 comments, so it's difficult to count them specifically because there were often comments that were lengthy and filled in multiple boxes in the Excel spreadsheet. But we were able to separate them into some major themes or issues around the measures that were raised were felt to it would be useful for the steering committee to review. There are some actual action items that we've identified, and certainly if after review of all the comments, steering committee members have noted anything that we did not include in this discussion memo, please, please, please raise them for the committee to discuss. So the first theme that we noticed is that there were several comments that talked about the number of measures, the number of measures within a particular topic area. Asthma was particularly called out. It was mentioned that striving for parsimony, too many measures may be an unnecessary burden, and it was important to focus resources on the good measures, particularly outcome measures. Staff has drafted an initial response to the first part of that comment around the balance of process and outcome measures, pointing out that in this particular project for maintenance, there were not a few measures due for maintenance that are in this pulmonary critical care area, and the majority of them are outcome measures. So there really are outcome measures in most of the topic areas in this project. So we will then discuss the group of asthma measures a little bit farther down. But does anybody on the steering committee have any issues with the proposed response at this point?
If we can keep our thoughts to just this theme of parsimony, who on the committee would have any sort of thoughts on what is proposed by staff here? As you see on the screen is the, for those who may not have the document.
This is Don. Parsimony is in the eyes of the beholder, and it's not clear to me that we've crossed a parsimonious threshold. Clearly, in at least a few people's eyes, we have, but it depends on what you think is too little and too much. And so I don't actually know how to respond, and I think that we culled through a great many options and winnowed down. So I'm not compelled to change anything.
Okay. Other thoughts around this issue of parsimony as it relates to the comments that have come in?
Yeah, this is Brendan Glenn. Parsimony kind of got such negative connotations to it. You wonder if frugality or streamlining wouldn't be a better word. And in our response that we say, you know, for instance, in that last, very last sentence, with a goal of a more streamlined set for these conditions.
Is this parsimony a term that is kind of common, Reva, within the lexicon, or is it just something that felt like it was a good thematic hold together?
No, actually, it was the word that was used by the comment.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's something, you know, in basic medical training that you're told to be parsimonious. So it's seen as a virtue, and we're told we're not being virtuous.
Right.
And
good point.
But as most virtues, there's a certain subjectivity to it. And it's not clear to me we're not parsimonious. In other words, we didn't propose 100 measures.
Okay.
So if there's no one here that feels like we might want to do more work on this based upon the comments, let's continue on to theme two. However, let me just sort of state, and Steve and I didn't do any pre-work on this one, but at any point in this discussion, if one wants to kind of go back in time, as long as there's time on the clock, I sure don't mind us going back if it turns out that we discover something later that relates to something we decided earlier and we just want to revisit it. Steve, are you okay with that as well?
That's fine.
Okay. Let's look at theme two, which is the probably starts to get to more technical pieces, which is the lack of support. So, Reva, do you want to just walk
through? Sure. There were a couple of comments we tried to bunch together where commenters disagreed with the recommendation by the committee, where the committee recommended a measure, but various commenters did not agree. And so we've culled out three areas in particular. The first one is measure 356, and this is a pneumonia measure regarding blood cultures performed within 24 hours prior to or 24 hours after hospital arrival for patients who were transferred or admitted to the ICU within 24 hours of hospital arrival. And we received comments from APIC, SCCM, and ACEP saying they really didn't support this measure. They offered a variety of different reasons, citing lack of significant evidence for improved patient outcomes, lack of specificity on blood cultures being obtained prior to the initiation of treatment, and they felt that just having to do this measure may be an unnecessary distraction from the delivery of more important care that needs to be delivered. And I put that to the committee to consider. The measure developer, Dr. Bratzler, is on the line if you have any questions for him.
Excellent. Thanks. So, colleagues, what do you think?
Steve Grossberg here. My thoughts are that this is consistent with guidelines and evidence. It's public. It's being publicly used, and it's not like a fly-by-night group put this measure together. It's been tested, vetted. I mean, it's CMS had a robust technical expert panel pulled together to come up with these measures, and our own deliberation on it was very robust and very one-sided vote. So I cannot endorse the commenter's perspective.
That's helpful. Let me also suggest what might be helpful to us as a group is whenever any of us speak to any of these comments, if you can perhaps start your comment by saying that you are in favor or not in favor of reconsideration, just so we know where you're headed to as you give your description.
So I'm not in favor of reconsideration.
Okay, thanks.
This is Peter. I also agree I'm not in favor of reconsideration. I also kind of find it strange that all the societies that sort of created the original guidelines are now objecting to it.
Yeah, I was going to ask that question. This is Trudy. I was wondering about that. Why is that? Why would that be the case?
Riva or any of our guests on the line who respond to that?
Dale.
Yep. Okay.
This is Dale. I'll just make a very brief comment. First, I think there's a little bit of confusion in the commenters between the two separate measures, the one that previously looked at pneumonia patients having the blood culture drawn before antibiotics were given, and that was one that this your steering committee specifically recommended against endorsement. This measure only looks at that population of patients that go to the intensive care unit. The actual society that has guidelines that clearly do recommend blood cultures in that population is the Infectious Diseases Society of America and the American Thoracic Society. Neither one of them actually commented here. So it's a very limited population. Those patients that go to the ICU because of pneumonia, that they should have at least one blood culture done. And the only other comment I would make is that one of the points that the commenter made was that the measure did not require that the culture be drawn before treatment, but because most specialty societies, including ACEP and others, recommend that antibiotics be initiated in the emergency department, on occasion you have a patient that has already been treated in the emergency department, deteriorate, subsequently transferred to the intensive care unit with symptoms of things like sepsis, and then the culture is obtained. So we could not hold them accountable for drawing the blood culture before treatment was begun because sometimes, appropriately, the treatment had already been started in another setting.
This is Don Neely, and I actually think we should reconsider this. I understand all of that, but there isn't actually a shred of evidence that drawing blood cultures under the rubric we've defined is linked to any positive outcome. The response is that people who end up in the ICU are more likely to have had a pathogen that could be identified, but there aren't any data to suggest that following what we've asked for now will actually improve anyone's outcome, specifically for the reasons that we've talked about. And while it may be a reasonable idea, it's not a measure of quality performance or linked to anything specifically. So although we had a strong vote back at our face-to-face meeting, I actually think the commenters are right on track here. It just, I don't think it delivers the outcome or the process of care that could be linked to the outcome in an effective manner.
So we have at least one member of the committee who is thinking about reconsideration. Are there others that would speak strongly in favor of reconsideration?
Yeah, hi, this is Dave. Sorry, I was cut off earlier. I think that there's a key challenge here where it's essentially antibiotics, early antibiotics, blood cultures for every patient, blood cultures coming to the ICU. There's a variety of interdependencies that it's hard to tease out whether or not if you have only one of these in place, whether or not people can actually game the system and whether or not truly identifies good care. And I guess my concern is that if we only have one out there and we haven't somehow accounted for the others, that you could still have situations where people are not providing good care and ultimately we're counting them as good. And I guess I just wanted to make sure that, you know, if we were able to somehow tease that out and make that clear, I would be in favor of it. But I guess right now I'm not entirely clear. I'm sort of thinking in the same vein as Don, that perhaps we need to reconsider this and maybe not endorse it quite yet.
So we've heard a couple in saying let's stay put and a couple saying let's reconsider. So, Riva, what's our ability here?
I think it's very difficult on the call to be sure we get a representative response from everyone.
Exactly.
So we'll do a follow-up and actually ask the committee to re-vote on whether, after review of the comments, they still recommend the measure.
Okay.
So this is Don. Let me give just one potential positive coming down the line. somebody's in-house for 2 days already on antibiotic therapy is sent to the intensive care unit, this would require a blood culture to be drawn, even if they're on empiric therapy, to be deemed as, you know, meeting the standard.
No, that's incorrect.
At a very high-end facility, you may actually choose with cutting-edge technology to look at nucleic acid fragments to identify pathogens that have been partially treated, and yet you wouldn't, that kind of outstanding performance, which I recognize is experimental still, would fall outside of this. Yet the blood culture for someone who'd already been on a few days antibiotics would seemingly be the, quote, quality step. That, to me, is not only a paradox, but it's actually a fairly common event that very few of these people.
So let me be mindful here, because we have a lot to go through, and it sounds as though that there's enough of a concern that at least we should take this into a reconsideration vote. And Reva's already described to us that she'll get that process going.
But I've got to make one comment. The comment that you just made, Don, was completely incorrect. The major only looks at the first 24 hours of the hospital stay.
Okay, and I apologize about the timing of it, but it doesn't change the basic premise. They could have been treated for 18 hours. I mean, I apologize about that. That's not really the point of the comment.
You know, so, Kevin, Steve Grossberg here. When a comment suggests that it's not consistent with the guideline, I'm rereading the words, but I mean, you know, the comment says there's a lack of any high-level evidence that this is directly linked and so on, yet there seems to be clear guidelines recommending this. I think let's get that fact out on the table early on, because I'm really concerned that we're reconsidering a measure that's been worked on for years, apparently as part of the guidelines, and yet we're saying we're going to reconsider it. I mean,
it's the nature of the process, and I know I feel a little uncomfortable about some of the asthma measures, which I know very well. However, the process is a robust one that NQF uses, and so staying with the process feels like the right way to do things right now. Reva?
Yeah. What we'll try and do is provide you the information you feel you need to help make that decision, and it sounds like we need to be sure that we can provide the information that comes from the guidelines.
I think that would be really helpful. So
let's continue on with this perception of lack of support as per comments and go on to the next part. So you want to...
I bunched three comments around three measures all together, and in fact, two of these were recommended by the committee and one was not. And these really were around the different elements of assessment of the severity for patients presenting with pneumonia. And there were comments around, you know, why were these separated out as individual measures, which might suggest that an individual item was more important rather than using some type of aggregate or a validated score or combining them in some way. And so you can see there's a wide variety of comments, but they all pertain to these measures around severity assessment. There were several comments about these are just basic standard of care measures and perhaps combining a composite, an aggregate, or a score type measure might be preferable. So those are the comments.
So based on these comments, do one or more of us as committee members feel like there's enough of a reason for us to consider one or more of these three measures?
This is Norm Edelman. I think the second half of the action item is right on target. These are little bits and pieces, and I think the recommendation of combining these measures into some sort of meaningful composite is a very good one. I would support that.
Well, so I want to be mindful that that might be a good idea. The question would be is that would be something for a future measure developer to take action on. And I think we can make that comment
right
to them. I'm going to come back to the principal question, though, which is for the time being, which is the measures in front of us, do we want to think about reconsideration, or are we comfortable with our decision based on the
States.
This is Don, and
in order to reach that point, we would have to reconsider the first two.
Norman, I don't understand the logic there. If you could walk us through that, just so I understand.
Well, the first two were approved. Is that right?
Correct.
All right. So in order to send them back to a developer, the first two would have to be disapproved, and all three would have to be looked at together again.
And is that what you're recommending?
Yes.
Okay.
So actually, can I have a point of clarification from the staff? So we approved two. The third one we disapproved, but there may be a belief on the committee that a composite measure using all these elements would be appropriate. I would argue that the measures we have already approved, I mean, if they can be part of a composite, then as individuals they have some merit, although, you know, going back to the parsimonious question, maybe a composite would be more meaningful for consumers as well as clinicians. Would we have to disapprove existing measures?
No.
Because if the measures are disapproved as individuals, then they probably don't make sense as a composite.
There's no reason that you would have to disapprove those measures. If you were interested in asking the measure developer for a composite, you could make a statement of saying that we refuse to look at these measures. And so there is no requirement here. I think that Norman was suggesting that we'd have to refuse them in order to get there.
Okay.
Am I correct, Norman?
Well, I mean, I would like to get there. If it's not necessary to reverse our decision on the first two, that's fine. But so somebody has to explain to me what happens going forward. Do these two measures get incorporated while we wait for some developer to put them all together?
Correct.
Is that Reva?
That would be correct. They would be, if your recommendations stand, they would be endorsed, and then your recommendation would just go to the developer in hopes that they would heed your recommendation and come back at some later date with a aggregate or composite measure.
And this is Don. I would be fully supportive of that approach. In other words, we do not reconsider for this go-round, but we strongly encourage the developers for the next iteration of this to do a composite measure.
Okay.
I was wondering, can we verify if there really is a gap? Because there was a question posed by the commenters, and I couldn't remember from the notes if we had identified there was a gap for the first two. Because to me, that's a key factor whether or not I would consider supporting it or not. If there is a gap, then absolutely. If there is no gap, then I don't think it's necessary to propose those.
So,
do we have anybody from PCPI on the line who could quickly answer that question?
I hate to be an answer on behalf of the developers. This is Don. But I think still the 90. The 25th percentile still has 10% of cases, I know, in the vital sign portion, missing. So while it's true these are done most of the time, there still is an opportunity, and there's no possible way to risk stratify without the vital signs and mental status evaluation. So while the absolute amount of opportunity isn't numerically great, it still exists, and its impact on your ability to decide who's sick and who's not is still fairly profound.
So what we could do here, I think it was Don, were you the one who raised the comment about the gap? Do I have that right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, we could.
We had that sent around. One of the supporting documents detailed the gap. And what I recall is that it was the 25th percentile was still 10% of folks didn't have these on the vital signs. I don't recall the mental status off the top of my head.
If you've got the document, the briefing memo, open, probably not on the webinar, but separately, the titles are actually linked to the measure forms.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
In the memo, the titles of the measures are linked to the measure forms that have all of that information.
So we could look at this and say that we are recognizing that these individual measures that we're approving, we're also concerned about the gap is, you know, that the success is reducing the gap, that we think that in next go-around that the developers have to really demonstrate a gap on these individual measures, and more importantly, the threshold for the committee would likely be looking at a composite, and that would be sort of foreshadowing where we're headed without necessarily changing our decision right now. Would that be acceptable?
This is Don. I think that's very wise.
Yes.
Anyone that would feel uncomfortable with that as a way to create a notation for this? Okay, then let's move on.
I've tended to pull out comments that challenged the committee's evaluation on the criteria. So there was a comment around the measure 91 for spirometry evaluation that, was challenging the evidence behind the measure and whether it truly meets the evidence criteria. If you recall, this is a measure from PCPI that looks at spirometry evaluation of patients with COPD. I think there was a little bit of lack of clarity in the way the wording of the measure is, so that some people were a little bit concerned that it might imply that this would be done on a repeated basis. And that was the major conversation around it. Deanna, I believe that was your measure.
Can you remind me of the measure, what the measure actually asked?
I have to go punch it up.
I thought it was a baseline. I didn't think it was a repetitive one.
Katie, can you pull it up really fast?
I'm pretty sure it was a single measure.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Not repetitive.
I think there was just questions because of the way the wording.
Is this the comment by the ACP Performance Measurement Committee? Which says, has reviewed the measure and has the following comments. This is the ACP Performance Measurement Committee. No mention of respiratory symptoms in the proposed measure. Also confusion about new diagnosis versus established diagnosis. Better text would be COPD and respiratory symptoms. So, are folks taking a look at what the measure is right now? And
yeah.
I mind you, that also was along with the fact that other commenters supported the measure. So.
Yeah, this is Don. I don't feel compelled to change our view on this.
No, I would leave it the way we did it.
Agree.
Anyone?
I support no change.
Okay,
I agree.
For anyone who says no, that they are supporting change? Okay, good. Then let's go on to theme three, Reva.
Right, okay, and this is sort of the converse. This is the request for reconsideration of measures that were not recommended by the committee. The first one is the measure on in-hospital care of children with asthma, the home management plan of care document given to the patient or caregiver. The commenter suggests it should be reconsidered because it's important for care coordination efforts and a lack of quality measures in this area. This was a discussion the committee had, I think, that was fairly straightforward around the evidence criteria and your discussion of the recent article in JAMA back in October that really tested the impact on outcomes for this process of care. So we've drafted a proposed response for the committee to consider.
Okay, and have you got that response? Let me just make sure we got the response up on deck. Okay. So I want to make sure that if you don't have it on paper, you can see the response. Thoughts or comments on the response as offered by staff?
This is Don. I read it. I laughed. I cried. It touched me. I think you said it perfectly. I don't think there's anything else to say.
This is Trudy. This is my measure, so I would agree. Absolutely.
Anyone who would like to base
upon
this?
I have a question. I have just a quick question to Reva. Were there lots of comments about this? I mean, what was the number of comments you received on?
No, I think there was just one.
Oh, okay. Okay. I think that speaks volumes, actually, in and of itself.
Okay. Does anyone want to reconsider? then let's move on to the next one, which is 549?
549. This is a measure from NCQA on pharmacotherapy management of COPD exacerbations. This is a measure that the steering committee did not recommend. The measure developer has submitted a letter outlining concerns and issues they have identified in the steering committee's evaluation of the measure. And the committee has had this for a while, so you should have had a chance to review the various issues that were raised. But they centered around the discussion not being focused on the actual criteria or sub-criteria that was being discussed and then voted on. The closeness of the vote on the sub-criterion of validity, which is the area where the committee did not pass the measure.
You know, Reeva, Steve Grossbart here, one of the things that I take offense at from the NCQA comment is they felt that we were tired during the comments. and that was a joke I made. It was a long day. I asked a question. There was a bit of pause on the committee, and I said, boy, we must really be tired. It was a joke. And they've harped on this again and again and again. I feel that the committee did a thoughtful consideration. We spent a good amount of time on this, and we've discussed this offline, electronically, via email. I do not endorse reevaluation. I think we gave it a thorough evaluation at the first go-around.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Who else would like to comment on whether or not we want to reconsider, particularly around this issue of scientific acceptability, usability, and feasibility?
This is Don. I agree completely. I haven't seen a compelling argument to reconsider. And while I find the weariness consideration pejorative, but it doesn't actually change my thought one way or the other.
Let's, for the moment, accept the fact that several people were discomforted with the fatigue mitigation question, and any other questions beyond that in terms of reason for consideration.
I haven't seen a strong evidence come back about this.
Okay. Additional thoughts? Would anyone want to speak in favor of reconsideration, particularly around a re-review of the scientific acceptability, usability, and feasibility criteria? Okay. There's a voice.
I didn't know if you were opening up to the measure developers or not.
Whose voice am I hearing?
Oh, sorry, Kevin. It's Bob Rim, Mary Barton.
Oh, hi, Bob. This is a question to Reeva. So, Reeva, where are we in terms of...
You're certainly welcome to, listen to Bob.
Sure, Bob.
Why don't we
here for the committee's benefit.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm sorry Ben Hamlin is traveling now and is not able to join us. He has long history with this measure. I do not accept. I may have been on CPM as liaison during some discussion. First, I'm sorry that you did take offense at our comment about being tired. We knew we were there pretty much the whole day. We were very tired, so maybe we're reflecting more on our own exhaustion and less so yours. Our apologies if that in any way influences your review. So, but I would like to share a couple of things, and I'll try to be brief. You're correct. The validity section in our submission focused on validity testing that was done in 2005 through 2006 that focused on denominator validity, because that was a subject of great interest at the time to our respiratory measurement advisory panel and to our Committee on Performance Measurement. We did find, I found today, lurking through our electronic files, the original testing, which was done 2 years prior. And the reason that testing didn't show up in our submission is because the CPM had voted that measure down based on denominator issues, not numerator issues. So I did want to share with you, and I know it's late in the day in terms of the measure process through NQF, but I did want to share you what that validity testing would be, and we'd be happy to send you the full testing. I think it's 28 pages that were done, of which 4 pages focus on numerator validity. To make a long story short, between, let's use the Medicare plans because the population of interest really is primarily the elderly for COPD. There was between 64% and 68% agreement between the administrative data around the numerator for both, this is for bronchodilators, for corticosteroids, and between the admin rate. So again, a range of 64% to 68% for Medicare on that. And then for the bronchodilators, there was agreement about 65% to 70% between the two. And I think you'll note in the performance data that the measures actually have improved dramatically. What we didn't show there was our first year analysis. Those data is normally not publicly reported, so we didn't include it. But when we look at public reporting, again, from Medicare for bronchodilators, there's been a 12-point increase since 2007 and 2010. And those rates now are at 78.2% for bronchodilators for Medicare and 66.6%, so up 12 points and 19 points respectively. So I guess, you know, we obviously know that this is an important area of interest. We failed in the submission to correctly capture the validity testing that was relevant to the questions that you raised during the steering committee meeting, and we apologize for that. Again, I think our focus was we had so many problems with this measure on the denominator side of the equation, and we finally got it right, and that in our focus on that, we failed to look deep in the dark closet of NCQA and find that data. So, again, respectfully submit, hope that you might consider it on that basis. We also have any answers to any questions you might have on our audit process, and in one way, validity is tested through our audit process, which we do on all of our measures. And the first-year analysis on audit showed that only 3.6% of plans had non-report. A non-report from an audit perspective is that there is bias or an error in the measure calculation. And so, again, wanted to share that with you as well.
Thanks, Bob. That's very helpful. Reva, help me understand in terms of process. When will be the next reconsideration for measures that we as a work group will have?
Right. Well, actually, NQF's in the process of transitioning its approach to measures, and we hopefully will provide opportunity for measures in topic areas to be submitted on an annual, at least annual basis. The automatic maintenance review of an endorsed measure is still every 3 years, but we really do understand that there's a need for more frequent opportunity for new measures or revised measures to come back into consideration. So at this point, best I can tell you is we are looking to, as soon as next year, start on an annual basis.
The reason I ask, Reva, and to my colleagues on the committee, is I want to make sure we hold the process, and so I'm going to come back to you, Reva. We're being offered information which would be new information to us now on this call that would not have been necessarily available in terms of time for other measure developers to have done in the same time frame. It sounds like it's reasonable information. I'm not sure how the committee would ultimately decide on that. And recognizing, as we all do, the importance of making sure we want to get good measures into the field. We also don't want to stymie good measures into the field. So all that wrapped together, so what's the lead line on that is, it feels like if in fact we would be not fair to the process by reconsidering all this measure based upon all this new information to other measures, then it would be right for us to defer until the next possible time when NCQA could come back to us with this. That's a question now back to you and process at NQF.
Right. And these are where we kind of move into the realm of one measure at a time. We are certainly we've certainly had measure examples where, you know, ongoing discussion, additional information, further analyses, you know, keeps the conversation going. So I think this is really one where if the steering committee feels that it would be appropriate to look at the new information and reconsider it, I think that would be perfectly fine.
It sounds like new, old information.
Right. Right. I was just going to say,
the committee.
New information, because I think at least I would, and I shouldn't be weighing in as co-chair on, but I will for this one. If someone was bringing brand new information that wasn't available and shouldn't have been available at the time, I'd feel like that's a little different. I think this is just what we're hearing is that when they put the application, they could have put some additional information that was existing that could have helped us. But that's one person's opinion. Let me go back to Steve as co-chair, because you and I didn't have any, and probably appropriately not, a chance to before the meeting talk about how to think about this issue. What's your thoughts here?
Well, I have mixed opinions, but one of my fears, and it's related less to the measure than the process, is that if every time the committee makes a decision, the measure developer asks us to go back to the table, gets the application better, finds additional evidence, and so on, we will have an endless process. And so if we're meeting on an annual basis, which means we're, which is 9 months from now for the next meeting, at the rate we're going. So is that such a great delay that we just, a better application, our expectation should be a better application in the future, or in the next go-round?
That's a great thought. Let me ask Reva. Reva, would because we are, our committee will be continuing to meet, do I understand that correctly?
Well, I'm not, I think we haven't yet transitioned to where we establish standing committee, so I can't exactly say it would be this exact committee in the future, but there would certainly be committees that would meet to do these.
So if we put forward, so in following Steve's logic, if we put forward a recommendation saying that we would like to see this measure again, we understand that there's new information, and that we would hope to have that reconsidered in the next year, what would happen with a recommendation like that?
That would be fine.
Steve, does that sound like what I was hearing from you?
I think so. And also the other thing is, if everything can be reconsidered, then we're going to – we had a number of proposed measures, not just this one, which were incomplete.
Yeah, exactly, where the measure of a developer had to – it does set us up as a committee for not having a way to move forward because we're always looking backwards at the same time looking forward. So,
And the people can always find ways to get more data to us. Do you know? I mean, I feel like that really leaves the door open totally.
It kind of knocks the process on its side a bit. Okay, so then let me ask the committee, not on the content of what's being presented, because it does sound like NCQA does have good content that would warrant looking at. It's the nature of the larger question of process for the committee of wanting to make sure that we're being fair and equitable to all the measures developers consistently so that they know how to approach us on this kind of a thing, that we stay the course with a very specific statement that says we would like to see this new data and this new measure, and ideally within the next year, whether it's us as a standing committee or whoever is that standing committee. Is that what I'm kind of leading a discussion to comfort with, or does that feel wrong?
I think that's reasonable. This is Trudy.
Okay. Let's hear from some other folks as well.
This is Don. I think that's an entirely reasonable process.
This is Norman. That's a proper process.
So we're focusing on process. Okay. Does anyone want to speak elsewhere that process a little bit aside, I'm not going to say darn the process, but a little bit aside, that they really feel it's time to reassess this measure now, and let's make sure we hear from those folks as well.
This is Christine. I think that you're laying out a good process for moving forward
for
whoever's on the committee in the future.
So you're supportive of the process?
I'm supportive of not reopening the decision at this time.
At this time, but maybe really encouraging that it'll be readdressed in the next year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let me just – I'm going to reach out to Bob for a moment because NCQA, of course, is a very well-respected measure developer, and you're I can only imagine what it must feel like on your end with this data that you kind of want to make sure that we get. And Bob, do you understand the nature of the discussion we're having?
Sure.
It's really not NCQA here. It's the process that we're going to focus on here.
Yeah.
And that we would really like to see this measure again with this new information because, of course, the value of having measures in this area would be great.
Right. You know, again, I appreciate the discussion. I understand the importance of having a process that is consistent through all the steering committees that we present to. You know, pulmonary steering committee is but one of many that we participate in. We do see, you know, a wide range of way committees handle these questions. I can understand how pushing this down out a year, you know, is an attractive option, and I could understand it if I was sitting on the committee. The only thing I would like to ask, and we would certainly bring it forward in a year, and, you know, it's probably no spilt milk one way or the other. We do want to respect the NQF endorsement process and place it at high value, which is why we try so hard to have our measures endorsed, even though, you know, for many, the health plan level endorsement may or may not be, you know, absolutely critical. But that's why we try so hard, and that's maybe why we over-tried so hard on our appeal letter. I think the one area that I guess if the vote was, you know, 2-13 on validity, you know, then, you know, your point's well taken. I'm sorry you're too late to this show. Given what we did show, there was one vote gap, and I just think that you know, had Ben, you know, been there during 2004 and known that data because he had lived it personally and been able to make that comment, and then I think people would have likely said, oh, okay, well, that's helpful, thanks. You know, you probably would have been able to, and say, could you send that to us later? And so I guess, you know, from a keeping a good measure in the NQF portfolio, I think this is a good measure. I think that with this data, granted it's late, would be a valuable contribution. There isn't another measure that quite does what this does, and I think we know the importance of this for people with COPD exacerbations, that they do get treatment, and that treatment is in a timely manner. Recalling that all of our measures around prescriptions are around filled prescriptions, not prescriptions that are simply prescribed.
Let me then, Bob, with those thoughts in mind, and a sense of having had a long discussion on this measure particularly, it does help us as a committee understand what kind of a process we would like to endorse for this group. It gives Reva, it gives you a sense of understanding that this issue, which I'm sure is not the first time it's come, probably warrants some internal review in terms of how committees are encouraged to, I hate to use the word standardize because everyone always feels discomfort, but this is NQF. It's a standards organization. How to manage new information flow and keep all the developers feeling like they have equipoise in terms of their ability to understand the process and have the right input at the right time. So there's a lot of lessons learned here. Probably the most important one is that you're hearing from the committee that they are wanting to move forward on this measure and with due process. And hopefully we'll see NQF will find the opportunity within the next year to come back to this committee as a standing committee. Let me stop before I go forward because I want to make sure I'm not speaking ahead of the committee. Is that what I'm hearing from the group? Right, let me put it this way. Does anyone want to disagree with what I've just said from the committee? Okay, so it does sound like that may be the collective consensus for the moment. As uncomfortable I think it is for probably everyone involved, it's just,
you have to say that it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's just one of those odd duck moments that none of us want to see. Let's move on to the PICU pain assessment admissions and the PICU periodic pain assessment. Reva. Oh, before I do that, Reva, are you okay with where we've...
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Man, I take your recommendation to have further discussions internally, and we will.
Oh, that's great. Great.
So the next two measures, again, the PICU pain assessment, either on admission or periodic. Again, a single comment about these measures, because there are very few endorsed measures available for pediatric inpatient care. This, again, I think was one where the committee was particularly clear and in their position for it. This was one where the testing for reliability and validity. There simply just wasn't any information presented on the testing results, and so the committee really could not say that it meets the criteria for scientific acceptability.
Okay. Colleagues, what's your thoughts here? You there still?
Yes, we're all here.
That last discussion? Hello.
We're here.
Yeah, we're here.
So this is Don. It strikes me that the major thrust of the request to reconsider is that, well, we don't have anything else.
Right, exactly.
And while I understand that, it sounds like in my particular discipline, we're accused of hurrying up and just trying to do something, even if something's not the right thing. And much as I agree with the importance of finding a real quality measure, I don't think this meets that standard. So I didn't see anything in there that said we had made a terrible evidentiary decision, just that we really wish there was something out there. So I'm not in favor of reevaluating this.
This is Tridia, the pediatrician probably on the call here. I would agree too. We have a real paucity of pediatric measures. We all know that, but this doesn't justify taking something.
So I'm hearing a couple no, let's not reconsider. Does anyone want to advocate for reconsidering this? Then I'm going to suggest we don't reconsider it and move on to theme four and ask, Steve, this is your heads up. We're about at the top of the first hour, and would you want to take over as co-chair for the next
one? Sure, that'd be fine.
Sure.
Okay, theme four is the second sort of part of the comments that came up related around parsimony, where several commenters called out the large number of measures addressing asthma, and they are asking if all of these measures are necessary within the portfolio, and the five measures are listed there. There were a variety of comments, pro and con, for the different measures, and I'll remind you that measures 36 and 47 were measures of a single prescription for patients with asthma. They were very similar measures. There were issues around harmonization, and we, the committee had identified those. The comments supported the absolute need for harmonization. We had requested the plan for harmonization and the timeline for the developers to be declared on this call so we could determine if that was an appropriate plan. You will also see some comments on the new measures around medication adherence, the medication possession ratio. There were some comments that added additional evidence, particularly for Measure 1800 regarding the relationship of the medication possession ratio with outcomes. And so I guess the one question for follow-up is we have received sort of the plan from the developers on these measures in terms of the need. They acknowledge the need for alignment. They will be taking them back to their respective development panels. I would just ask if you could provide a timeline when you anticipate that harmonization will have occurred.
So, Reva, Steve Grossbart here. So, we've endorsed these measures. The developers have agreed that they should be harmonized. So the action item says the committee wish to reconsider. So reconsideration would either be withdrawing our endorsement or maintaining our endorsement. What other actions can we take?
No, that would be correct. But for instance, I think the comments would support that harmonization is a very high priority. And so, and I think this was discussed significantly by the committee as well. So I think it's in everyone's interest to understand how quickly that is going to be achieved as part of the consideration of recommending both measures that at this point in time are not harmonized.
So then our action would be to withdraw endorsement of all until they're harmonized to create
a consensus? Not necessarily all, but some, perhaps.
And so I think it would be one thing if the measure developers had not agreed to a plan of harmonization as opposed to have agreed. So they've agreed to a plan, and I would think that we would want to see, I mean, we'd want to see their harmonized proposal and endorse that.
Well.
So it almost seems like there's a process in NQF needs another step, which is they're endorsed, that we've endorsed them, and the committee recommends harmonization. It seems like a moot point since the developers recognize the need for that as well, and we should endorse them on the assumption that endorsement may be a short-term endorsement until the harmonized measure is endorsed. I mean, I'm just trying to help because I don't know what action we're being asked to do.
Well, I think the idea was, the developers were asked to develop a plan and a timeline. For instance, let's be very extreme. What if they agree in principle, but the timeline was we'll get it done in the next 5 years?
So has the timeline not been forthcoming? Is that the issue?
Well, I was going to ask if there's more information from the developers because time is not something that was shared.
Yeah. So this is Mark Antman at the AMA and PCPI, and I'll chime in here, and I'll defer to Bob and our other colleagues at NCQA to add. I don't think we realize that the steering committee would be looking for a specific time frame on this call. We did indicate in our responses that we would need to take the recommended changes back to our respective measure development panels for approval of the changes. As Dr. Grossbart expressed, we did indicate our agreement that harmonization on several points is needed, and we've agreed to do so. But we have not at this point specified an exact time frame. Bob, did you want to add to that?
No, except that, you know, we're certainly, you know, this is one measure where, you know, where we talk with AMA-PCPI where, you know, we're in alignment about what our intent is here. There's been no disagreement, no areas of controversy. We do, just speaking of the process, we do respect AMA-PCPI's process for measure approval, and they appreciate ours. So we'll be taking this to our respiratory advisory panel, and then their concordance, we'll take that then to our Committee on Performance Measurement. And if the measures are changes significant enough, we'll be putting those out for public comment. So the process does take some time, but it certainly doesn't take 5 years.
Well, that's what I do you think it's reasonable to expect that by the first year annual update, harmonization will be achieved?
First year annual update. Remind me when that would hit in the calendar in 20, is it 20?
A year from now.
Exactly a year from now.
From the endorsement time, which is going to be July, August.
You know, with smooth sailing and our backs on the wind, that would be possible. You know, I just because I've been there and done that, that would be our goal. And, Mark, I don't know if that's a goal that is achievable.
I would say I would agree with your statement, Bob, that it is.
Okay. All right, that gives people a sense of it, and I would just ask the committee if they find that acceptable.
Absolutely.
So, Reva, can you have different time frames for when things have to be redone or renewed?
It will depend on the reason for redoing things. For instance, we've got measures that both NCQA and PCPI know that we're looking for revisions of measures around hypertension to align them with JNC8, which seems to be delayed indefinitely. So
couldn't we sort of approve this? Couldn't we approve these then, you know, if we expect harmonization within a year, expect an update with the new measures to be evaluated?
That's exactly what would happen. You are recommending them right now as is, and they are not harmonized.
Right, next year we would have a harmonization of these metrics so we can either disapprove them a year from now or look at the new harmonized measures.
Reva, I almost think, and this is an NQF issue, I would almost think it would be great if the NQF had a category endorsed for a one-year period with, you know, automatic loss of endorsement if a harmonized measure is not submitted.
Well, that's what I was sort of suggesting, something like that.
Yeah.
Now, well, we can't create that.
No, I know you can't, but...
But the whole purpose of annual updates is for the developers to inform NQF of how the measure is evolving and changing, and harmonization is certainly a high priority in that whole process.
But in terms of your current process, we're endorsing these measures, and they'll come up for maintenance endorsement in 3 years.
Correct. However,
so we're endorsing them for 3 years. Is that correct?
That's typical. However, if on next year's annual update they've made significant revisions, that could prompt an ad hoc review. So they could get revised formally in a year, depending on the extent of it.
Or alternatively, they could do nothing for 3 years and they'd remain on the books.
Correct.
Okay. And again, we're just, you know, again, it's a digression, but some alternative that... creates an incentive and a deadline for revisions and harmonization, I think would be a useful addition to the NQF process.
Okay.
Yep.
So noted.
So as the question I have for the committee, is there anyone that objects to anyone who believes we should reconsider any of these measures and withdraw endorsement? So we're comfortable with leaving them as is, and we're confident that the measure developers will harmonize.
Right. I just think in the statement we need to say that we expect it to be harmonized in a year.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I'm confident, but I know what the decision next time around will be.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Well, essentially, we've got the same comment around the COPD measures, and I'm going to assume that the conversation we just had would apply to them, too.
Are there any objections on the committee's part to that, Reva's assumption?
No.
Well, let's move on then.
Okay, we'll move on to theme 5, which are the outcome measures. And there were a goodly number of comments around the outcome measures. The longest comments came from the American Hospital Association addressing multiple issues pertaining to the 4 outcome measures from CMS Yale that were the 30-day either readmission or mortality rate for pneumonia, which are maintenance measures, and for COPD, which are new measures. So the measure developers from Yale and CMS have provided some rather lengthy responses to each of the major points raised by AHA. Now, these are not the only comments about them, and there are others, but those are sort of the first group. The first discussion point was failure to adjust for factors beyond the hospital's control. I believe this is a topic that the steering committee discussed and does tend to be a recurrent discussion for any of the all-cause mortality or readmission measures. The second one is around reliability, and there was a presentation of analyses that AHA had done around reliability. They also referenced recent CMS work that was required by the Accountable Care Act around questioning the reliability of the measures. CMS and Yale have provided, again, extensive responses to those concerns and issues. That was sent to you yesterday when we received them from Yale. And then I'm going to skip the third one, and the fourth one is exclusion of all Medicare patients in hospice. Again, there is a response to the issues raised in the CMS and Yale response. All of these are quite lengthy. And I don't know to what degree the steering committee wants to go into detail. Going back to bullet number 3, harmonization with the recently endorsed hospital-wise all-cause, all-condition readmission measure to exclude planned readmissions. This is an ongoing conversation, and CMS Yale have advised us that they have developed a process for evaluating their measures and an algorithm that could help them identify planned readmissions. They would be able to do that within the next several weeks. The date they're telling us is July 11th, and they would then be able to have revised specifications or include the algorithm for the committee to consider to see if it impacts your recommendation on the readmission measures for COPD and pneumonia. So we will be waiting for that, but it's going to be just a short wait. And it's felt that given the interest in this, these measures and this topic area, seeing that would be beneficial to the NQF membership before they vote.
So Reva, to recap, the Yale responded to every comment, specifically in the American Hospital Association's points, and on the area of harmonization, that is now a moot point because they've agreed to make modifications that address this.
Correct.
And so then the other question is does the committee, after reading the comments by the American Hospital Association and the response by Yale, if we feel that there's I'm looking for your action items. If we feel that the response is sufficient and that there's need for either we agree with the Yale response and we don't reconsider, or we disagree and we reconsider the measure. So that's the question before us, and I'd like the committee to discuss that.
Yeah, this is Norm Edelman. Is there a third option? I mean, can we ask for more deliverables from Yale? I think the American Hospital Association analysis, which focused on risk factors particular to the hospital, which are not controllable by the hospital, is very, very important. And there are two issues. One issue I raised in my review and at the meeting, and that had to do with ambient air pollution, and the developers said that they would do a pilot study, but there's no mention of that in their response. So as a point of information, I'd like to know whether that is a plan of the developers to do that pilot study to see whether my concern was correct or whether that somehow got lost in the wash.
And Norm, I do think that's a third point because the American Hospital Association did not raise that. So Yale was responding to the AHA's criticism of the measure, but I think that's it's a third question. I think we could ask the measure developer
to update on that. I'm trying to put my hospital-specific issues together.
Yeah, understood.
The second one, which they raise, is SES, and I know this is a problem because this appears to be policy. And the developer says they've done an analysis which shows that there's no impact of SES. But, of course, there could be confounding variables, and I did point this out in my written review. So, for example, if poor people live in inner cities and the major provider in inner cities are teaching hospitals, it's possible that the well-known tendency for poor people to be sicker is offset by the pretty well-known tendency for teaching hospitals to do a better job. And so it washes out when you do a simple correlation. And if this is true, then this policy is prejudicial to inner-city teaching hospitals. This is an issue for AHA, and I think it's a well-taken one. Now, I don't want to recommend revisiting our approval. It's an important criterion. But I'd like to think of some way in which we can make the developer more responsive and do the analyses necessary to determine whether these hypotheses have any validity or not.
This is Elizabeth Try from Yale. Do you want me to make some remarks now, or what would be helpful?
I'd welcome, as chair, I'd ask the developer to respond.
Okay, speaking to Dr. Edelman's comments, we did send a memo regarding air pollution to NQF, and I that's outside the discussion of this meeting, which was about public comments, but if we need to engage further on the details of that, I think Reva can let us know what the right context is for doing that.
Yeah, well, actually your response was included in the draft report that was sent out for public.
Oh, for public comment, right, okay. So the gist of that was, you know, again, while, anyway, I'm going to leave that to the table because there's so much public comment on it. If you want me to get back to it, I'm happy to. The comments around, I just wanted to speak to your comments, Dr. Elman, about SES.
We do adjust for the level of illness of the patient, as you know. So we do adjust for patients who are sicker. And so in that sense, I don't think we're washing out anything. We're really trying to isolate the effect of hospital quality on mortality and readmission outcomes. So we adjust for patient comorbidities. We know for these measures, particularly for pneumonia, where we validate it against clinical chart abstracted models, that our risk adjustment does a good job of adjusting for how sick patients are. And some of the specific risk adjusters that AHA mentioned, like end-stage renal disease, psychosis, substance abuse, are their risk adjustment variables in all of those, all or three to four of our models. If we have a long list of clinical candidate variables, and particularly end-stage renal disease is significant in every model, and the psychiatric variables are in substance abuse are in most of our models, and they came into the model if they were having an effect on the outcome, a relationship with the outcome. So I'm not sure what they were really concerned we were missing there, given our process. And on SES, I think, you know, there was a good discussion about it in general before, but I think you already understand, the committee understands why we don't adjust for it as a risk adjuster.
So you don't accept the idea that SES is a predictor of poor outcomes even after all the ordinary adjustments are made?
Well, so we don't dismiss that at all. I think that SES, you know, probably has an influence on readmission, where it's a particular concern, but our options, first of all, some of that relationship we adjust away because it's related to how sick patients are, so that part we've taken care of, and other parts of it around the kind of follow-up care that's available. Again, our measures are pretty much developed in a fee-for-service population, so that's an insured population, and there still may be issues around language, around availability of resources, around compliance and access to medications. But those are all issues.
And literacy And literacy as well.
Literacy, mm-hmm. And so those are issues. If there's a shared responsibility for care among the hospital, post-acute care providers, and the patient, but what we have spent a lot of time talking about in another committee, the neurology committee at NCHEP this morning, and I think it's an important discussion that we all keep having, is that hospitals really have an ability, as shown in the literature, to influence the outcomes, even for patients with those problems. Now, can they get readmissions to zero? Can they fully address it? No, but if we adjust it, probably not. But this is a measure of how well hospitals do with the patients that they have, and if we and when we look at our particular measures, these COPD and pneumonia measures, we're not seeing big differences in how hospitals perform with these patients, and we think they really do have an active role to play. And if we adjust it away, then we've lost any ability to measure any disparity in care there, which is why we don't do it in NQF. Suggest we don't do it. Now, if there were a really big disparity there that we were seeing in the measures, we'd have to think, well, is this fair to hospitals? But we're not seeing a big disparity in performance when we sort hospitals out by those with a lot of low SES patients and those with few low SES patients. They all, in all of those groups, their hospitals, they're doing quite well in the measure.
As a chief quality officer of a 24-hospital system, I think SES is not something that should be included in the model. The differences based on SES reflect a failure on many hospitals to address the needs of their population they're serving. I'm very disappointed in the American Hospital Association's comments. I don't think they're representative of the real care issues that we have to confront as hospitals. So I have a pretty strong opinion on this, and there is so much failure in care delivery by hospitals in things that are within our control, discharge planning, health literacy, I think the model is robust enough to capture the true clinical differences, and hospitals need to step up to the plate and start improving care and supporting the changes that need to be made to reduce readmissions in these areas.
This is Peter. I had a question for the developer. Has CMS ever thought about not just reporting 30-day outcome, but also reporting in-house outcome?
For mortality?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, and I personally thought about a lot about that issue because we recently put out a paper in Annals in January this year, and there were colleagues at CMS who participated in that, looking at how in-hospital and 30-day mortality metrics characterize hospital quality. And the challenge within hospital, the biggest challenge from a measurement standpoint, is that there's variation in how long you're observing the patient. Many hospitals, some have a shorter length of stay and some have a longer length of stay depending on their discharge patterns and their post-acute care providers. And so the length of stay itself becomes a factor that is contributing to your results, to your mortality rate. The longer patients are there, the higher their risk for showing up in your in-hospital mortality rate. And so CMS has a preference for a standardized period of follow-up, as does NQF. And that's what we like about a 30-day. It doesn't have to be 30 days per se, but a measure with a standard follow-up from, in this case, admission to an end period where you're observing all patients for the same amount of time. I think we heard from the committee that there's in-hospital measures can provide some quality improvement information that is useful. But if you're looking across the broad set of U.S. hospitals, 30-day measures are a better metric for comparison because they're not affected by length of stay differences or transfer patterns.
No, but it's just, I mean, in our system, we use it as a way of understanding, is it an in-house problem or is it a discharge practice problem? And by just doing a 30-day measure, you have no clue what it's due to. That's
right.
The point
well,
I'm trying to make.
When,
and that's why it's useful to have both numbers to be able to know what to do with them.
And the pneumonia measure, which is already in public reporting, CMS, when it provides the mortality rate to hospitals and the readmission rate, it provides a private patient level file so hospitals can look at their particular cases, and it wouldn't be hard for them to say, you know, who died in house, who died afterwards.
Are you guys going to be working on a model with a lab with some lab values in it in the future?
We are working right now on.
We did publish a paper recently in the medical care on the CMS model against the lab model, showing that there are issues. So that's why I was kind of curious: are you ever going to get to a lab model, which maybe address some of the other people's concerns about these models?
I don't know if we're optimistic in right now. For example, there's a very, very similar. We developed a measure for AMI mortality, and we're working on it. It's actually an electronic health records-based model that's built for that system. Will we bring in lab values through administrative data? We're not focused on that right now.
We're focused on
sort of the leap to the next level, which would be how would you build these kinds of measures out of electronic health based?
And Steve Grossberg here, Elizabeth brings up a great point. I mean, once we go to a world of where meaningful use measures become increasingly complex because we've got robust electronic health records, all our measures are going to change, and they'll change presumably for the better because of the richer detail. I do want to bring the committee back to the question at hand. Does the committee wish to reconsider their recommendations on these measures? So is there anyone on the committee who believes we should reconsider the recommendations?
So this is Dave Rue. I read the CMS and Yale response, and I was in complete agreement. First of all, it was very well written, articulate, cogent discussion, and I think what I'd be particularly interested in seeing, though, is the new protocol that will adopt some way to address the planned readmissions. I think that's going to be a very important enhancement to the algorithm. But I would not support reevaluating this. I think the standard for evaluating readmissions, I think we should stick with it. I support the measure.
David, this is Rita. Just to clarify, we are expecting those changes to the readmission measures from CMS around the planned readmissions by mid-July, and we will be sharing them with you for your input, and that's going to happen before they go out to the NQF membership. So that's definitely in the works.
So will we have to approve those, or
We'll see. I will want your input to see if it changes your approval, because at this point you're recommending the measure. It sounds like you're supportive of the likely changes that are going to come through. You really want to take a look at them before you finally approve them.
Okay.
Or change.
Rita, this is Elizabeth again. I just wanted to add one more comment, which is just since the steering committee has convened. Another recommendation we heard from the committee earlier was to specify the age range for the COPD mortality readmission measures to 40 and older rather than 18 and older, because the measures are specified and tested in all payer data set as well as the 65 and over Medicare data set. And we have investigated that, and I've sent a note to NQF, but I just want to confirm that that is our plan, would be to re-specify the COPD measure for a 40 and older age group as well.
Oh, I did forward that information out to the steering committee. The one thing, Elizabeth, when would you anticipate making that change formally?
I think what we can do is when we bring back the results of the model with the planned, well, this is just a planned readmission, but we're ready to make it at any time. And then when we bring back the readmission measure with the planned readmissions identified, we'll bring it back as well. If you're okay with that, you know, 40, it'll just be respecified that time as well as 40 and over age group. So, but we could make it online anytime that you're ready for us to make it.
Right.
It's easy to do. We're just changing the age range.
Yeah. The question then is to the committee, do you support CMS making that change?
Didn't the committee recommend it?
Yes, we did.
Yes. Okay.
So I would
support it.
Do we need to ask that question?
Okay. Just checking.
Getting surly now.
I mean, we want to iterate our liability between our meetings.
Right. Okay. Is there any more discussion on the AHA comments? Because there were comments from other organizations around the outcome measures. But I don't want to cut off conversation if there's more to come. Okay. Couple other comments asked about information around the risk models, and the response will point them in the to where exactly they can find the rather detailed information that was presented. But I think the comments that around the claims-based definition of pneumonia, and it applies to both the CMS measures 506 and 468, as well as the ARC inpatient pneumonia mortality measure 231, and they are questioning the validity of the claims-based definition for pneumonia, and your committee's thoughts on that those comments.
So the big issue is that patients are arriving with a primary of sepsis and a secondary diagnosis, if I read this, for pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
And COPD.
The first one
or
pneumonia, the second
yeah.
COPD.
Okay, I see. Okay, it's...
And so I think what's happened over time is that there's an enhanced recognition of compensated shock syndromes that don't look so profound on presentation. Ergo, the distribution of codes have changed over time. I agree with the observation, but I still don't know that we need to revisit our recommendation.
So ask the committee, are there those on the committee that feel we need to revisit this? Or, and is there, and Reva, should we ask the measure developer? developer for...
If you have any particular questions or comments that you'd like information from them. And they have...
This is Dr. Romano, by the way, from representing AHRQ, along with John Bott.
Yeah, the developers have responded to these comments, and we've entered those in your spreadsheet. So if you'd like them to maybe just summarize those quickly.
That'd be great.
Facilitate conversation. Ask maybe Patrick or, and then maybe Elizabeth.
Sure. I think that there is a point related to acute respiratory failure because we try to follow coding rules pretty carefully in how we define the denominator of the indicators. And so coding rules do permit coders to code a principal diagnosis of acute respiratory failure with a secondary diagnosis of pneumonia in cases in which the patient presents to the hospital with the both conditions concurrently, in other words, with acute respiratory failure due to the pneumonia. So there is a potential opportunity there for missing some cases that would have a high risk of mortality. We haven't enumerated how many cases those are or what the trend is over time, but it's something that we'd be happy to look at and to harmonize with CMS if desired.
Elizabeth, did you want to comment at all on CMS?
Sure. I also think Dr. Lindenauer, who collaborated with us and wrote the paper referred to in the comments, is on the line as well. Peter, if you want to make any comments when I'm done. It's a great comment. I mean, we want to capture pneumonia patients. We want to capture the full set of pneumonia patients, and Peter's paper shows that there is probably a trend toward primary sepsis, secondary pneumonia, primary respiratory failure, secondary pneumonia over time. But at this point, we're not wanting to leap into redefining those codes, in part because this measure has been in public reporting for 4 years. We know that we are capturing pneumonia patients, that the specificity of the codes are good because every year hospitals get their patient list along with the measure results. So we're not fearing that we're capturing non-pneumonia patients. And so as Patrick said, we may be missing patients. And that's something we can look at as we maintain, CMS maintains the measure every year, and we can take a look at it. We do look at, we do try to track coding trends and risk factor trends as part of measure maintenance. But I think this paper, which just came out recently, gives us a reason to look more closely. We wouldn't recommend changing at this time. And then secondly, I just wanted to say in our the COPD measure, which as you know is new, we did define the cohort to include both primary COPD and then primary respiratory failure with a secondary diagnosis of COPD, and that was with a lot of deliberation with our experts. And I feel like, you have to make a call for each patient cohort to do the best you can to define a very coherent cohort across hospitals, but also track these trends. And so we will be looking at it going forward.
Reeva, Steve Grossbart here. It does seem to me that there is a valid harmonization issue on the inpatient mortality for pneumonia. If I'm not mistaken, all of our endorsed process measures for pneumonia would include an algorithm with where a primary of sepsis and a secondary of pneumonia would be included in the population, yet the inpatient mortality pneumonia measure does not. And so we have a lack of harmonization there.
So this is Dale Bratzler. The pneumonia process measures only look at those patients that have either a principal of pneumonia or a secondary diagnosis of pneumonia with a principal of respiratory failure or sepsis. So we actually harmonized with the mortality measure.
But the ARC inpatient mortality measure, 0231, would not include those patients.
I cannot speak to ARC.
Right, but Reva, am I correct on that?
Well, let's ask Patrick. He was on the call. Patrick?
Yeah, the current specification does not include those patients. Do I understand that the current specification of the CMS 30-day mortality measure does include those patients?
No. For pneumonia, it's just primary pneumonia diagnosis.
Right. So we're harmonized with
you're
the
harmonized with the mortality measure, but not the process measure. So we look at process for a different population base than mortality.
And that appears to be the case, but it could be changed.
Yeah,
Steve, this is Peter Lindenauer. I think you know the issue is that in the difference between the process measure. The algorithm for the process measures and for the outcome measures is that the process measures involve chart abstraction. And so including patients with the principal diagnosis of sepsis or respiratory failure and a secondary diagnosis of pneumonia, the chart abstraction process allows, for the weeding out of cases where pneumonia really wasn't a condition present at the time that the patient arrived at the hospital. And that's just not that's not feasible. That hasn't historically been feasible with the outcome measure. It's relying on administrative claims. And I think that, the opportunity going forward potentially is that the present on admission coding, which didn't exist when the pneumonia measures were developed, may provide an opportunity to, incorporate an expanded definition of the cohort to include the sepsis patients, to include the respiratory failure patients. But as Elizabeth said, that just can't be implemented, rapidly. It's going to require quite a bit of development and validation before something like that, a change of that magnitude, could be, practically implemented.
I think it'd be something worth looking at, but I'm not going to. But I'm comfortable with our. I personally don't believe that the committee should reconsider the measures at this time. But it would be nice in the future if, when we say pneumonia, the base population is defined consistently across multiple measures. So if pneumonia includes primary sepsis, secondary pneumonia, as it does for the process measures, it would be nice if mortality was measured the same way.
I agree with you, and I think that there's a general agreement about that, and it's more a matter of how that can be implemented given the two different approaches to patient identification. So.
Others in the committee want to weigh in? Or to put it more simply, are any who wish to reconsider the measures, or are there any who have additional comments?
Kevin here, not with this measure, but a question afterwards.
No.
So Reba, do you have what you need from the committee?
I think we're fine, thank you.
Okay, and so was that Kevin speaking?
Yes. I just have a question about just a time check.
We're on the last theme, basically, that were different questions that came up from commenters around the coding or specifications, and these are ones that the measure developers have responded to. And if the committee members have had a chance to take a look at those comments and their responses, are there any that you'd like to pull out for particular discussion?
That's a good sign.
So can we go through them? Reeve, I think it would be more efficient to go through them one by one. So beginning on page 7 of the NQF memo,
right.
Measure 0231, and you'd have to go to your spreadsheet documents.
Right. Katie, do you have a spreadsheet up?
That would help quite a bit, because it is a 30-plus page document.
We are going to be running short of time.
But
actually, Kevin here, how do we want to manage this time issue? Because I do think that we potentially will be running short of time. And Steve, what's your thoughts?
Well, so the question is do we want to reconsider any of these measures based on the comments and the developer's response? So I'd ask the committee, based on that, are there need for reconsideration?
This is Don, and I think we've covered all the topics that had attracted my attention from either deciding to not reopen the conversation or considering reopening, and I don't think we actually need to go through them one by one now. The rest of them I don't think there's anything common about.
Then I will, you know, is there anyone who disagrees with Don? Because I'm willing to defer to his response.
Hi, this is Dave. I think the only thing that I wanted to just, and I agree with Don that all the major issues were covered, but just for clarification, I think that titles for the particular measures are still ambiguous, specifically when it applies to inpatient or ambulatory, and I would propose that we, if we have different measures out there and that one is inpatient or one's ambulatory, that we specify that the title. It wasn't clear from the response whether that would be done, but I just think from a usability standpoint, that would be better.
Hey, this is Reva. I mean, the best we can do is make that recommendation. The ability to change it lies with the measure owner steward. And so I think continuing to repeat that might help reinforce it. Are there any, perhaps we might hear from some of the measure developers around this issue of better measure titles to make it a little bit easier for the audience?
So this is Julie Cole from PQA, and this is the first time I've heard that comment, so we will do that. Remember that you're talking about inpatient and ambulatory for our measures, which are our drug plan or pharmacy related. You know, we would consider that ambulatory but very specific to the pharmacy world. So maybe with your recommendation, we'd make our measures even more specific to that so that it's clearly evident that that's what's being measured.
Thank you. Anybody else?
This is Dale. I definitely do not speak for CMS, but I will highlight one of the challenges that CMS has with changing measure names, and that's if they've been published in the Federal Register,
yeah,
for instance, in a proposed rule, they cannot be changed until the next proposed rule might be published. So there are certain regulatory things that CMS has to deal with for changing any of their measure names.
Well, can I make what I believe is a friendly amendment, and of course we're not voting on this, but a friendly amendment to Dave Rue's point, which is that if not in the measure title, the specifications need to really be explicit about inpatient and ambulatory. So in that case, you know, if that could be addressed without an impact on the Federal Register.
Yeah, I think I'm sure that could happen.
If it confused the NQF committee members, it's going to confuse a lot more other folks,
yeah,
as well.
I agree.
All right, just a couple more themes. I think these are relatively one-off type comments. A proposed response clarifying the meaning of reserve status, as well as If you recall, there was a measure that was not recommended, improvement in dyspnea, which really applied to home health care patients. The committee generated a couple of questions about it, and the developer has provided responses in the comment table there. So, and also just some comments around the type of information that people reviewing these measures would like to see better or highlighted or more obvious in the measure submission. So I do think that the committees had the opportunity to look through the range of comments. I would ask the committee members if there's anything we haven't discussed that you identified as an issue you would like to discuss, please let us know what that is right now. All right, so does the committee feel that they've had the opportunity to look at the comments and the responses that have been submitted so far and bring up anything they need to discuss? I'm not really hearing any to the difference. So, Steve, I think these are pretty much we're finished with our discussion. We do want to have time for any public comment.
Okay.
Is there anything else from the committee? Kevin?
Nope, I'm fine for the moment.
Okay. Operator, could you open the participant audience lines for any questions or comments?
If you have a question or comment, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. At this time, there are no questions or comments from the audio lines.
Great, thank you. It's important that we always provide that opportunity. Just as a recap for me, the only action to follow up is the committee does want to do a revote on measure 356 on the blood cultures within 24 hours in the ICU. And we will pull up the guidelines that are applicable and referenced for that for the committee's use, and tomorrow, probably first thing, we'll be sending out a an email to allow you all to vote offline for that reconsideration. Just for the general audiences, because there are a couple of these measures that just in a very short time frame we're going to be doing some follow-up on, and there are a large number of measures, we are going to be issuing them to the NQF membership for voting in two groups. They're all still part of the same project, all still part of the same effort, but it will allow just those couple of weeks for the readmission measures and this revote to happen, and we can keep everything continuing to move forward. So we will be doing that in the very near future. And so, Mike, are there any questions from the committee in terms of what's happening, what we've done, your comments, and the comments that were submitted as well as your responses and your discussion will be included in the draft report. We will just continue adding on to those summary tables that are in the draft report that has really documented the conversations and the discussion and the back and forth that's gone through this entire project. And those will go out to the NQF members for voting. And then the results of the NQF member voting will go to the CSAC in July and August. So those are the next steps for the process, with the expectation that the final endorsement will be, again, completed by August with the two different groups. So any questions from the committee about where we're going from here?
I think you did a great job of giving us a heads up. I think the only other thing that we probably need to be mindful of is that we had a very thoughtful and nice discussion on a very difficult issue, which is how to bring new information to the committee, mm-hmm. and you're going to be looking at that internally in terms
Correct.
Of internal consistency on that, which is great. Steve, any from you?
Yeah, it was just a nice meeting. I appreciate the committee's time and energy and the developers and public's participation.
So if there are no other comments from anyone, operator, nobody signaled an interest in commenting.
There are no comments from the audio lines.
Right. Anybody else who happened to be on the other lines listening have any questions or comments?
A big thank you to staff.
Everybody here at NQF, we very much thank the committee. We know that this is time out of your very busy days and lives, and we really do appreciate the time that you've given to us to look at the measures first and now to look at the comments and provide some thoughtful discussion and follow-up. So we really do appreciate that. And you'll be hearing from us, like I say, we'll get the email for the reconsideration vote out to you tomorrow. So thank you all very, very much for your time, and hope everybody's having a wonderful summer.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
It's only a day old.
Right here.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.